Bruce Lee made some movies and kicked some dudes and wrote some books and thunk some thoughts, very little of which is realistically depicted in Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello. Happy 2024. I remain Sean Collier. I did not change when the year rolled over. And here I am with two Soviet officials clapping reluctantly. It's Robin Hitchcock.
I'm so glad that the Cold War ended.
And Camila Adams.
I have changed slightly. I'm a spooky bitch now.
Oh, okay. It's on her shirt. You can't see because it's a podcast, but it's what the shirt says.
Is the shirt say spooky bitch because Christmas is over? You're like, back to spooky season?
Yeah.
I guess that could be one way to go about it. But it's just basically, it's a merch from one of my favorite true crime podcasts, Right-Handed. Podcast.
Oh.
So
excellent.
That's all. It's a little treat to myself.
I find I can mentally commit to one true crime podcast at a time. Like among the like, here's a different horrible story every week genre. Like My Favorite Murder for a while, and then That's Why We Drink for a while, and Morbid. Now I'm on the Morbid train.
Yeah, like I guess Red-Handed has been out for a while. They had a lot of episodes, and I just didn't really get started to listen to it until like maybe a couple months ago. And that's all I was listening to. Like I binged from like the beginning on.
I love finding a podcast with an archive.
Right, and now I'm finally like caught up to like the current episodes. And so
I got to do that because I do it this way, I'm only ever getting deep cuts. Mm. It's like, when did you do Gacy? 7 years ago. It's more interesting that way. Hey, also, happy episode 150. This
Yay!
Is
look at us
150.
Which, talk about archives.
Yeah, go back, listen. There's even some of the last podcasts on there. They're a little rough. I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you. You gotta go listen to You Can't Handle the Truth. But what better time to review the current top and bottom 10? And I don't think this week's will go into either. So this should hold for at least another episode. Our current number one movie in America remains Get Out. 95, gonna be hard to touch.
Yeah.
Followed by Fight Club, Carrie is third, Silence of the Lambs is fourth. Those are the only four above 90. That is the 90 cutoff. Mm. You must be equal to or greater than Silence of the Lambs. Then Alien.
No big deal.
Yeah. No small pressure. Challenge. Alien, Men in Black, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghost, and just for Robin, Speed stays in the top 10.
All right.
Clinging on.
Stay above 10.
87.67. That is the cutoff to make the list. The bottom 10 in last place, Transformers The Last Night. How appropriate. 10.67. In 150 episodes, we've never had a single digit number. Everything has at least...
That's a Touchwood situation.
Right, seriously.
Second worst is Transformers The Age of Extinction. 1 point better. Then there's a lot of horror. Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. Rob Zombie's Halloween. Mm. Texas Chainsaw 3D. Divergent. Wasn't that like episode 2?
I think so.
I think it was.
Got that up out of the way early. Prom Night, Hangover Part 2, The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1, and The Awakening. That was the Charlton Heston mummy movie.
Oh,
I didn't
yes.
remember either. 25 and a third. You must be below 25 and a third to enter the Yikes. Hall of Shame. Yeah, we've done a lot of these things.
Yeah.
A lot. We've covered a lot of ground. All sorts of genres, all sorts of decades.
And now, a movie... Camila,
I'm sorry.
Tell us how we.
Have to be sorry.
No, I don't think it's apology worth.
Yeah.
Tell us how we got here and how you feel having brought us here.
So we got here because we did the draw because Robin and I both won a bingo and we did our draw, and then this time around we had the caveat of we have to pick movies that we had not seen that were on our list. So this was one of them. I thought it would be interesting to watch a movie, a biopic about Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking to watch a biopic about Bruce Lee's life.
Hasn't happened yet.
My favorite thing about watching this movie, I watched it with Colin, and at some point he was like, Robin, if I tragically die and you write a memoir about my career... I want you to make sure that you make yourself look as awesome as this chick is making herself look.
Exactly. That was my biggest takeaway. And it's like, okay, so basically, Linda, you are in charge of Bruce Lee.
Ever.
Being Bruce Lee. We get it, Linda. Oh my God. So this, like, after watching it, immediately prompted me to, like, go find an audiobook biography about Bruce Lee.
About actually about Bruce Lee.
Yes, exactly. Yes. My God.
But this is like a subgenre of biopic, right? Like, I'm pretty much just thinking about Theory Rocket of Everything. Man. Rocket Man's the same way?
I think, if I vaguely remember, I'm pretty sure it's kind of like a little fantastical type.
Oh, what I meant was specifically biopics that are actually about the famous person's wife.
Oh.
And if specifically with Theory of Everything, it's based on her memoir also, right? And it's like, I don't know. I find it, I kind of like that subgenre. I did not like the movie Theory of Everything, but I liked Felicity Jones in it. And this one... I enjoyed it.
Maestro.
I literally watched Maestro yesterday. Why did I not think of that? I literally watched it less than 24 hours ago. Mm. Maybe that says something. But regardless, I enjoyed watching this terrible movie. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's just, you know, my expectations. It just were not met.
Yes.
And that's what kind of just fucked me up. It's like, okay, now I have to like really switch gears like quickly. Because like after the first fight scene, I'm like, what is this?
Also, that first fight scene is so weird. It's like, oh yeah, his life was just like the movies.
Right.
But also,
This guy gets into 4-on-1 street brawls with alarming regularity.
Exactly.
With silly sound effects. Yeah. And like, I guess now they're on beams.
It was so crazy that I was thinking like, if the first fight scene were like, okay, so this must be, we're at like a movie set for him. Like, this is him filming a movie. No. This is what's going on. And then he walks off into the, like, no? Okay.
I'm pretty sure if you watch Enter the Dragon, that has more scenes of things that actually happen in real life than this movie does. If nothing else, he fights Chuck Norris a lot. That happened a lot in real life. Okay. It's just, it's so, there's never been a more, now I'm going to go to Wikipedia and read what actually happened.
Right.
Movie. It's like, I don't believe any of this.
Right? What happened? Who was it? Is this? So what I did actually learn about Bruce Lee from this movie is that Bruce Lee was a man. Uh-huh. He had a wife.
Yeah.
And they made a movie about that.
He had a child.
Yes.
He had
two children.
But they're only really going to talk about the one who recently died.
Right. And that was like, when did Brandon Lee die?
Apparently, right before this movie came out.
It was right before this movie came out.
Which I guess they, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we got to do the plot recap, don't we? Don't we do that before facts?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you just did it. He was a man.
Did you have something prepared?
No.
Okay.
It's mine. It's my recap. I'm just saying, she already said everything. Mine begins with a Bruce Lee happens. Like, that's... It won't take 60. Tell me when to go. Bruce Lee is born in San Francisco before returning to Hong Kong, where he has nightmares about a mysterious warrior. Sometime later, he's sent back to America, where he goes to college, works, and fights some dudes. After fighting more dudes, he opens a martial arts school, where he teaches Linda, whom he will later marry. The old dudes don't like that he teaches students of any race, so he fights a dude about it and wins, but gets paralyzed by a cheap shot after the match. He writes a book while paralyzed, returns to fight some more dudes, and becomes an actor, playing Kato and nearly getting the series Kung Fu, except he forgot to pre-kill Bill, so Hollywood gives to the white guy. He goes back to Hong Kong for his father's funeral, then ends up making movies there that will actually kick off the kung fu movie craze back in the States. He also defeats his dream warrior guy to save his dream son, although he suddenly dies and the movie suddenly ends.
Yeah, way less than 60. It's so upsetting. I feel like it's just such a disappointment. It's like a made-for-TV movie.
Oh, it feels so made-for-TV, and I have... But we can save some of it for You Can't Handle the Truth. But what gives a movie that quality?
I don't know. Bad directing?
There
was one point, the scene in the hospital where he's yelling at Linda to leave him alone or he's not a man anymore. The audio was really terrible in that scene.
With bad ADR, is that what you're talking about?
No. Like,
because that happens at some point in the movie.
It was like the room was not full. So like it was very apparent that it was really awkward and off-putting. And I think he overacted a little bit.
I was surprised how charming I found him it's that situation. It's like, remember in Solo how it's like, this guy cannot be as charming as Harrison Ford was.
Right, right.
It cannot happen. And so he's going to seem less charming than he actually is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this guy evaded that somehow playing Bruce Lee. I was very much expecting that effect and didn't feel it.
Huh. Well, this was released May 7th, 1993.
Hey, that's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I was 9 years old.
Is this what you went? You went to see Dragon the Bruce Lee?
Absolutely not.
You think you could guess what you were doing on your ninth birthday?
No.
I had at least two movie birthdays. I had a movie birthday for Homeward Bound 2.
Aww.
And I had a movie birthday for not the good Chris Farley movie, but the other one.
Black Sheep.
Correct.
I was thinking along with Matt Perry.
In any case, on Robin's ninth birthday, it became the 10th number one movie of the year, ending a 4-week reign by Indecent Proposal.
4 weeks.
Not this one.
That movie was huge.
Indecent Proposal won 4 weeks, and Dragon interrupted that.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Won the weekend with $10 million, beat fellow debut Dave, which was in second place with $7.3 million. But Dragon was a 1 week number one movie because it flipped with Dave.
I was going to say, I know Dave's on our list.
Dave came back and won the following weekend. Dragon went to two. Both were beat in their third weeks by the erotic thriller Sliver.
This was a golden age for erotic thrillers.
It was. Yeah,
was the time.
God.
And Hot Shots Part 2 also landed ahead of both of them. Total of $35.1 million. That is 47th for 1993. Not a big hit. This is primarily based on the book Bruce Lee, The Man Only I Knew, as Robin pointed out, written by Linda Lee Cadwell. It is also loosely informed by another biography. Yeah. Shit that people made up, you know, and interviews with Brandon Lee. As a result, it is considered a very one-sided account. For example, the fight where he gets paralyzed.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that's bullshit.
Yeah. There is a fight that happened around that time that may or may not have been over who he was teaching. Like, it is probably...
Is there a secret court of martial arts gatekeepers?
Bruce Lee says there is. I mean...
My question was, what is this space?
Where did you guys...
We just have this.
Right. Do you rent it out for, like, bar mitzvahs and whatnot when you're not using it for
trial by combat?
Right. Just occasional trial by combat. That may or may not have had anything to do with the fact... Like, yeah, there were old dudes who didn't like him teaching whoever. Maybe this fight had something to do with that, and maybe... The guy's name is Wong Jack... Man, there's a dash, not Hugh Jackman, like Jack dash man. It might have been about that. It might have just been because Bruce kept saying he could beat anyone anywhere at any time, and Wong went, okay, let's
game on.
That's not where he injured his back. He injured his back weightlifting and got temporarily paralyzed, but that's way less cinematic. And more to the point, it seems like it's probably true that Bruce Lee didn't win that fight. That they fought for like 25 minutes, which is a ridiculously long time.
Oh my God.
And then Bruce got tired and stopped.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would get tired. Well, obviously I would get tired. Everyone would get tired after 25 minutes of super intense fighting.
But Bruce always said, I beat him in 3 minutes, and he said, I give up. So that's what's in the movie. Take that and extrapolate to pretty much every scene. Speaking of Brandon Lee, he died a few weeks before Dragon the Bruce Lee Story was released. They discussed removing the climactic fantasy sequence that surrounds Brandon Lee being in peril, yelling Brandon over and over again, but... Probably correctly, like, you don't have an ending without that.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that happens after that is, like...
He drops dead.
He suddenly died.
Yeah.
People love him. Good night. So they decided to keep it in. The film is dedicated to Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee turned down the opportunity to play his father.
I was going to say that I have the vaguest of memories of this movie coming out.
Yeah.
And because Brandon Lee dying, I have strong memories.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then I have vague memories of this movie coming out connected to that. And I was going to say, wasn't it a thing where he was maybe going to have been in this movie? And if he had been in this movie, then he wouldn't have been in The Crow and he would have lived.
Yeah. I mean, two things seem to be simultaneously true. One is he wasn't crazy about doing it.
Right.
And probably at some point said, I pass. The other thing is they didn't fight him hard on that because the studio thought he was too white. In an ironic twist,
right. Yeah. Okay.
Compared to the life of his father, they were like, "Well, we're not going to make him look more Asian." Right. So
that's it. Good choice.
Yeah. I mean, you died, but other than that, good choice.
Sidebar: just do we think that The Crow would have still been a success, a cult classic, if Brandon had not passed away?
I don't.
I do. Goths needed that around that time. Like, that became such a touch. I know people to this day who are like, it's my favorite movie of all time.
I mean,
like,
I love it. Absolutely.
We're growing up and we're a little spooky right at that moment. Yeah. I think.
You're obviously both more connected to that type of person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
speaking of people with the name Lee, no, Jason Scott Lee is not related in any way. Just wanted to make sure.
It's kind of like Smith.
I'm sure that he was happy to let people think he was, but he was not. This is directed by Rob Cohen, who we have seen the work of before. He directed the first Fast and the Furious.
Oh, that's right.
He directed XXX, The Skulls, and some others.
Huh.
He got very, very canceled and has not worked since.
Oh, so. I didn't know that. You probably told me before in our Fast and Furious episode.
I don't think I mentioned it because it doesn't matter who directed the Fast and the Furious. Right. But with this one, I was like, who made this? Was it an Asian? No, not surprised. Okay, but who is this guy? And then it's dark enough that I don't want to get into it. But
All right. You
will not be hearing from this guy again. Instead, let's talk about fun cameos. Van Williams, who played the original Green Hornet, is in there directing the Green Hornet.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that nice?
Aww.
And Shannon Lee, Bruce's surviving daughter, is singing at the party scene when Linda tells Bruce that she's pregnant again.
With
Shannon.
How cute.
Isn't that nice?
And that was an example of a scene where I was like, even though it's really stupid, this lady made a movie about herself.
Yeah.
That is so cute. Like, I thought they were genuinely cute together.
They were a nice couple.
Yes.
Yeah, it worked.
It's fine.
They also worked hard. Jason Scott Lee and Lauren Holly did train in Jeet Kune Do for months under Jerry Poteet, who was a student of Bruce Lee's, who praised their abilities. He's on screen for like 1 second. Again, grain of salt. The Demon Visions... ridiculous. There's reality to them, allegedly.
Yes.
Listen, I don't know Chinese superstitions. According to Wikipedia and IMDb trivia, there is a Chinese superstition that demons target firstborn sons. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, Bruce Lee's parents were really worried about that and passed him off as a girl for years. In any case, they were worried about demons.
Yes, it was. That is true. That is true.
I mean, whom among us?
Yeah. Linda also says that Lee said he felt like a demon was after him soon before his death. Linda says a lot of things.
Linda.
Brandon was their firstborn son.
Yeah.
So
the demon.
Yeah.
Their firstborn in general.
Again, the ending. Ghoul. By the way, if you felt like you recognized part of the score, the love theme from this movie, which is by composer Randy Edelman, constantly used for trailer montages.
Thank you. We were both like, where? Like, this score has been used somewhere
before. It's like Forrest Gump and The Truman Show, for sure. I looked up a list, and there's a billion of them. It's amazing. And if you showed me a list of 25 movies that could potentially be the original source of that piece, I would have probably ranked this dead last.
No. It's from Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Yes.
And 500 trailers. Oh, hey, I said the secret word, trailer.
It's your birth certificate. Bruce Lee. It sounded very American.
I'm going to America. French fries. Sky's the limit, that's what they say.
Not a Chinaman's chance. They say that too?
I'm different.
You guys killed my dad in Korea. You think I'm happy to see you in my gym?
Don't touch me.
Or what?
Huh? Or I'll touch you back.
You're not really an American.
It's this guy Lee. He's awfully oriental. I mean, you can't change people with your fists.
You kiss him. Kiss him. At least.
He defied tradition.
I'd like to take some lessons. I'd like to give them. Now, you know I'm not Chinese.
I've noticed that.
You've been charged with violating the martial arts code.
He began a revolution.
I have developed a way of fighting with no fixed positions.
And became a leader.
You are ordered to stop teaching.
That was a good trailer.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Sure looks like a 90s movie, but it is.
I mean, this movie is super cheesy. The trailer does not throw you off the scent of that at all. But this trailer makes the movie seem really exciting.
Yes.
Makes it seem like there's going to be more fighting in it than there actually is.
Right.
And even though it doesn't have that classic piece of trailer music, it works. It pulls the heartstrings the way that that music does. I feel like it is somewhat inevitable that I will be making a supercut of those trailers.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, that's going to be
music hit. The Truman
an hour
Show.
Of
music
work
hit.
For 14 seconds of podcast, and yet I'm going to do it.
As long as it brings you joy.
Yeah.
Critics everywhere are in love with Nell.
I'm not so sure we're trying to help somebody here.
Truman, where are you going?
Chadagan untoba minda that one.
What did he say? What did he say?
I think we can expect great things from you.
The extraordinary true story.
This is the United States, it's not Russia.
Is that the best you can do?
The truth is, we're not the ones been teaching radio. Radio's the one been teaching us.
The world will never seem the same once you've seen it through the eyes of Forrest Gump.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
So what I did learn, and I feel like was kind of like missed from this movie, was that Bruce Lee was a fucking gangster before he was... Like in high school, like he straight up traveled with a gang.
Yeah.
Like they're fucking hiding chains and pen knives and shit.
The very beginning of this movie is weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
I mean, between watching this movie, thinking about why the things that are in this movie, considering the number of times Bruce Lee was like, I will fight anyone at any time, and then reading more, I'm like, I don't think I'm mad at Tarantino anymore. I think he might have been a little bit of a dick. Like not like an over-the-top dick, but like, boy.
Yeah.
Did this guy love tossing out some harsh words?
Right, because I don't know. I guess I just had this, again, not knowing a lot about the actual man. I just had this thought or process that he was probably just like, you know, it's a real modest simple dude who just, you know, who's really good at his fucking craft, and you know, it didn't dawn on me that he would be walking around and like,
I think everything you've ever learned is terrible and I will beat anyone here in 60 seconds.
Right.
But I kind of think that I have attributed that, and I'm not letting go of this yet, to just being showmanship and
maybe
not being his actual attitudes in life. But you're probably right.
Again, he fought the guy for 25 minutes, then got tired, and then he told everybody he beat him in 3 minutes, and he gave up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, he's Bruce Lee. He gets to be cocky. But,
right.
But there was such a flap about, like, no, he was a humble, gentle man who would never have bragged about his abilities,
right,
like Tarantino made him look.
It's like, I feel like that's wrong, you guys. We can... can put that to bed now.
If there's one thing I trust Tarantino on, beyond whose feet look nice, it's stuff that people have said behind closed doors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like he has heard every bit of gossip about everybody.
I would buy that, yeah.
But anyway, this movie, it's very watchable for something with no meaningful plot or structure.
I truly had a great time watching this movie. It's not good.
I don't know about great time. Like, it lost me after a while. Like, there's a lot of the second half that I did not actually look at.
Same.
But, you know, it's very...
digestible.
Yeah. You can look at it.
You can leave the room for a second.
Yeah.
And come back to it without pausing.
You could watch this on a plane, no trouble. Even when they get to the sexy montage, there's a lot of steam.
When and they you're going to spend the sexy montage going, what do I know this music from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or what do I know her from? Dumb and Dumber. The answer is Dumb and Dumber. So all of the focus on the racism was kind of what they had to focus on. And yet there were still times when I was like, this is over the top.
Yeah.
Like her friend with the,
you would
in your mouth. I'm like, what does this add to anything?
Exactly.
It just convinced me that Linda has shit friends.
Exactly. Like,
I think it was all setting up towards the moment of she wants to keep her mom out, and he's like, I want to invite her in to meet her grandson.
Even that, it just kind of seemed pointless.
I think that that was Bruce Lee was the greatest guy of all time, and he saved his wife from losing her family to their racism.
Or it was Linda saying, like, see how, you know, noble I am that I was willing to cut my mother out
also
because she was
so
racist. Yeah, but it was Bruce who brought her back.
Bruce was so much bigger hearted than me, but I'm a moral principled person. Linda.
The mom is somebody. The mom is like
she's from Waltons or something.
Yeah, she's like a TV mom. They were trying to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Waltons.
I lost a good half hour trying to figure out where I could stream Kung Fu. You cannot.
Really?
I would still like to. Someone let me know if you gotta.
It's funny because I spent half of this movie just like, I think I'm gonna watch The Last Dragon after this.
I still haven't seen The Last Dragon,
girl.
I haven't seen The Last Dragon.
What in the? Oh, and it's definitely not on this list.
I was waiting for him to show up. Because he's
Timok,
yeah. Or he trained with him, right? He's the
he
last
trained with Bruce Lee,
right? Isn't that why he's the last dragon?
No. You need to watch the movie.
All right.
I interviewed Timok.
Oh my goodness!
Years ago, yes. So you guys can check out that down to watch episode if you want.
Yeah, on podcast yet? Not like a quick little chat.
No.
Peanut did not like Bruce's fighting noises.
I love Bruce's fighting noises.
When he starts to just chirp, Peanut woke up and started barking, and I'm like, yeah, no, correct.
I know, man, yeah. Right? This is ridiculous. I mean, there's really not, I just did not really enjoy it because of what I thought I was getting. What I wanted from a biopic was not there.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was just like, if somebody had told me a little bit, this is like a loosely based little fantasy kind of situation. Yeah. You know, this is what Linda guesses played along in Bruce's head kind of thing.
Linda.
I would have had my it wouldn't have been on my list. Had from the mind of Linda Lee. Had that been in the trailer. Then I would have known what to expect.
That sums it up better than anything else we're going to land on. So what number do you give that, Camila? What does that add up to?
It's really difficult. I'm going to say 31.
Yeah, I mean, 41. I'll go 10 higher because, like, I have a few problems with it.
Yeah.
Other than all the lying.
That's a blatant lie.
Yeah. I don't want to see it again. That's for sure.
No.
Robin?
I'm going to go 51.
Okay.
And you guys talked me down. I came in here with a score of 55. I enjoyed watching this movie.
I probably shouldn't have had to do the math on that, but yes, 41. 41 is the average score. Nice try. I swear I saw someone is developing a new biopic.
Yeah, Ang Lee.
That feels better.
I think as of September, that's the last I saw something about it. Yeah. It's like, I can get behind this.
Yeah.
Is he going to do it in his weird super frame rate thing that he's into?
Can someone just do it? I just want to know his life. Like, can we just do that? We all know that he was a very talented martial artist. We can stick away from that. I just want to know who he was.
But with a super frame rate, if you wear special glasses, it will feel like you're in the room with him.
No, thanks.
You need special glasses for the special frame rate?
You sure do.
Explain?
I don't know. Do I look like a scientist?
But you lay with one. But what? Sean has pulled out a book. Are you going to read some poetry?
Yeah, it's time for You Can Handle the Truth. So naturally, I would like to talk more about Some Came Running. I know we've left it behind. And then I looked at this. This is fascinating. It is called Do Not Detonate Without Presidential Approval, a portfolio on the subjects of mid-century cinema, the Broadway stage, and the American West, inspirations for Wes Anderson's Asteroid City. You know, when I first opened the package, I was like, cute, Wes Anderson bullshit. And then I realized it's like essays on movies that inspired the thing and like little snippets of fiction that he liked. It's so much more interesting than the average, like, here's a little book about how we made the movie.
This is a dream job,
by
the way.
Is this the swag you got?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there was a big Asteroid City package.
Give me
package.
A big budget to put together a swag package.
Exactly.
And it include when I stopped and looked at it, I was surprised to find an essay by Michael Koreski called What Makes a Sad Heart Sing, Some Came Running.
Ooh.
So here's a snippet. No Minnelli melodrama is more elegantly conceived or less emotionally forgiving than 1958's Some Came Running, his headlong dive into the chaos of wrecked, impossible lives. His characters are doomed to unhappiness for reasons both socially conditioned and psychologically constructed. A film of pessimism without misanthropy, Some Came Running operates in a similar register to so many screen melodramas of the 1950s that seemed eager to diagnose small-town USA hypocrisies and small-mindedness and the discomfort of living as an outsider amid the oppressive atmospheres they create. Good take. If that was the point, I'm not sure it succeeded.
Right. As you're reading, I'm like, do I just not remember this movie well enough?
What I'm hearing is that this person likes men more than I do.
This is Michael Kresge, the editorial director at the Museum of the Moving Image, co-founder and editor of the online film magazine Reverse Shot, publication of the author of Films of Endearment, and Terrence Davies, longtime contributor to the Criterion Collection and Film Comment. He has taught on the history of American queer cinema at NYU and the New School.
I do like reading positive reviews of movies that I did not like.
My uncle bought me a print Sight and Sound subscription for Christmas, and I am excited to see people who look at movies in the way that the thing I just read, because that's so not how I look at movies, and I want to be more well-versed in it. But case by case, but when I read something like that, I'm like, well, yeah, you can say that the thing you want a movie to say is accurate. Like, it's. I think it's easier to read a movie into your worldview than to, like,
so let's talk about Poor Things.
So let's talk about Poor Things. I came in here brandishing a Poor Things tote bag, and just as we, I've already talked about it, but I just this morning published my top films of 2023. It's at the top. And now, for a dissenting opinion, here's Robin Hitchcock.
No, I mostly have questions.
Why?
I want to be like, Sean, what is this movie about to you? But I guess my more simple question, and you can feel free to answer the other one if you want to, is this meant to be inspiring or horrifying?
Inspiring, I think. I think it's about, I think what it does with the Frankenstein myth is, okay, fine, but then what if the monster just decided to live well and succeeded? I think it is a story about a person overcoming their, you know, the existential, what was I made for, to borrow a line from Barbie.
It is weird that this movie and Barbie came out the same year.
And saying, I'm going to live for exactly what I want. Here, watch me do it, and if at any point anyone tries to stop me from doing that, I'm just going to walk away from them. It is kind of an embrace of living honestly and an exploration of how easy that would be if somehow the part of you that gives a shit about the people around you did not exist.
That's interesting. That is so far away from the movie that I watched.
What do you watch?
I think
Spooky that, monster movie?
No, I feel like I watched a movie about how gross men who are attracted to women are.
How gross men are what?
Men who are attracted to women are the worst, is to me the thesis of this movie. And
it's in there, definitely.
I also really fucking struggle with, so they put a baby's brain into her. That's the plot. And then the first 20 minutes or so are her playing sexy baby.
No, thank you.
And
there are people struggling with it. I'm not going to tell you not to.
And then
have
the
thoughts.
Next chapter of it, she's really just playing around in autism tropes. And feels like that is saying that autistic people have a baby brain, and that makes me want to punch through a wall. And I don't want to spoil the ending, but they have a dramatic shift, at the end, which makes me feel like they're like, yes, men are awful, but remember that some men are more awful than others. And therefore, men who are attracted to the sexy baby, you're off the hook unless you actively abuse that sexy baby.
Oh my God.
Right? This... Like, that's how I watch this movie.
You're free to...
And then they're also
If you accept my reading, I will accept.
Okay,
yours.
And then the like white feminism detour with where it's like at some point Gerard Carmichael is like, you know, your movement for personal liberation is ignoring dying babies, and then that's just a plot point, like that's a means to an end, like they just kind of throw that idea in there, and then also.
I think the argument there is that way of looking at the world is kind of irrelevant to one's personal journey.
Yeah, that felt gross to me. I thought that the movie was being very intentional about men are the worst, because Willem Dafoe is pretty good at being like, I'm going to say the worst things imaginable, and I'm going to say it in my friendly voice. And so you're going to feel okay with how I just said, obviously the thing to do was to take the baby's brain out and put it in her body.
Well...
And then also,
like, I don't want to, because this is a perfectly valid, tell me how much to argue.
The other thing is, like, I like the movie less and less the more I think about it. Also, is the other thing. I do want to say Mark Ruffalo, incredibly funny.
Yeah, very funny.
I'm going to the casino. It's like my favorite line reading of the year. So,
and to the listener, I just want everyone to know there is a rich, varied history of Robin just absolutely rejecting my number one movie of the year.
Yes.
It happens all the time.
Was this your number one?
Yeah. I feel like we are both at peace with it.
Yeah. I mean, did I like it less because I knew it was your favorite movie of the year? I hope not. I quickly want to acknowledge that I saw Rustin and Origin, both. And I feel like we are having a wave of movies that got greenlit in 2020 and then the studio lost interest and was like, you go finish your little movie. And boy, were they both disappointing. And I hate it.
Rustin was disappointing?
Yeah. Oh. The script is awful.
The script is not good.
The script is so, like, all of the subtext. How does this current political moment reflect your personal struggles?
Rustin is like a virtuoso musician playing in an empty concrete room, because
Coleman Domingo is so good.
He's so good.
So charming.
With nothing. I've got nothing. I'm just going to come in here and do acting.
Acting.
Yeah.
With just a terrible script. And then Origin, it's Ava DuVernay. Mm. I didn't even know that she made a movie this year. I remember being like, Ava DuVernay has a new movie?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, well, now I know why no one's talking about it, because it's not good.
Well, yeah.
Oh, thank you. I was like, I felt the pressure. I was like, I must watch the Ava, because it's so, I can't be just another person ignoring this movie. Oh, I can? Great. Good.
Yeah,
I've just been seeing a lot of things about, like, people like, I don't even know what I just watched. Like, I don't know what it's about. Like,
we're talking
just,
about this TV movie situation.
Yeah.
This feels like a TV movie from 1999 on, like, the Oprah Network or the Women's Entertainment Network. It is rough. And I feel like that must have been a they didn't give her enough money thing. Because she has a big, ambitious project in her mind.
Yeah.
That comes out embarrassingly.
That sucks.
It sucks. What else do I got? Okay. Perfect Days, great. And thank you to Mayor Ganey and whoever in your office pushed for public restrooms in downtown Pittsburgh so I could enjoy Perfect Days.
I should watch that.
You should watch that. Eileen, so weird. So glad I watched it. I was not gonna.
Yeah.
I thank you, Mike Rhodes, for being like, no, it's good. You should watch it. There was a Letterboxd review. I wish I remember. Somebody Sullivan said on Letterboxd, Wario Carroll. Mm-hmm. And I was Wario Carroll.
Wario Carroll. You say Wario.
Oh, sorry.
New Jersey style.
That's a Southeast PA thing. I do say Mario correctly, unlike many people from there. Boy and the Heron, kind of boring.
Didn't love Boy and the Heron?
Yeah. Colin, I watched Clockers for the first time, and Colin was like, is this a Spike Lee movie? And I'm like, I have a feeling that if it is a Spike Lee movie, it's going to be worse, because if it was good, we would know for sure that it was a Spike Lee movie. And then Colin said, Spike Lee doesn't make bad movies. And I said, but there are lesser Spike Lee movies.
You think this is a lesser
Miyazaki?
And I think
this is lesser Miyazaki.
I really like weird bird creatures.
That
so this
bird
was...
is upsetting.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One, very cool.
Yeah.
Jaws.
It's Jaws.
It's Jaws, but Godzilla's in it. It drags a little bit in the middle, but like I had a great time.
I think it's the best Godzilla movie.
It might be. I really love the original, but Ferrari, disappointing.
Disappointing.
The vroom vroom stuff is really cool. Penelope Cruz, just crushing it as always.
Yeah.
But I don't like Adam Driver very much.
I don't like him either.
Yeah, like I just don't think he's super good at acting.
I feel no particular way about him, but in this it really felt like he made the like I'm going to be stoic and still choice, and it just made it uninteresting.
Yeah, I wanted it to go, I wanted to crank the dial towards House of Gucci at all times.
Well, there's a fascinating movie ensconced inside Ferrari about how do you pronounce it? They said it 100 times.
The Mia Mia. They say if you do a drinking game every time they say Mia Mia, you will die.
1,000 miles. It's a 1,000 mile race across Europe. And like everything about that is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It has almost nothing to do with the guy they're making the movie about.
And Michael Mann is usually so good at making movies about awful men. It just didn't work.
I would like to, the only other thing I'll add about Ferrari is I happened to be in New York. And in the time that I happened to be in New York, there was a script, like, I get screenings every day that are like, do you want to see this movie at the ba-ba-ba and the Dolby ba-ba-ba in New York? And I'm like, no, wait. Yes.
I'm here.
If I ever move to New York, and I won't, it will be for screening rooms. It's just, the sound is perfect. The picture, it's just a tight little 60-seater. There's 7 other people there. They're all critics. No one says a goddamn word the entire time. No popcorn allowed. It is, it was beautiful. Oh. And yet I still didn't like Ferrari. It was the perfect circumstance to be like, I don't care, the movies. And still I'm like,
And Maestro, I was primed to dislike Maestro because I'm very annoyed about the whole nose thing.
Yeah,
it's excessive.
It's a lot. But here's the thing. It actually is less bad in the movie than I thought it would be, because whenever he's old, the nose, Leonard Bernstein, when he got old, actually did have a big nose.
Yeah.
Like he had old man nose.
Right.
So it looks more like him. So it's less annoying and anti-Semitic. But also because he has a face full of makeup, it like fits in better, I would say. But even with that caveat about maybe it was because the nose got better as the movie went forward, the second half of the movie is so much better than the first half. Why didn't they just focus in on that?
It's one of the only times I've gone from like sitting there gonna review this badly, and then an hour later being like, gonna give this a pretty good review.
I was genuinely like, holy shit, okay, I'm in now. And like, Carey Mulligan's really good.
Yeah.
And it's a tough role. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, she walks a very fine line between being, you know, someone who you love and feel sorry for and someone who you want to shake really hard and be like, why are you like this? But yeah, I just recommend if you put it on and then you're like, I'm not enjoying this, stick it out. It gets good. Yeah.
Wait for it.
Yeah. And then finally, Anatomy of a Fall. Oh my God, so fucking good.
It's really good.
So fucking good. Like, it might be my favorite movie of the year.
It's up to, it's my number 3.
Yeah, like, and I don't think she did it.
I think she did it. If you haven't seen, well, no, I don't. You don't have to skip anything. This movie can't be spoiled because the key information is never revealed.
Correct. And I feel like that, like, I guess some people would think, oh, they don't tell you what happened, like what really happened is a spoiler. But no, it makes you like the movie so much more, because the entire time you're like, my choice is going to be my choice. This movie is not going to prove me wrong or outsmart me or anything.
She has murder on her face in the first shot. Like, she's sitting there trying to have a conversation with this interviewer who's trying to interview her. Meanwhile, her husband is playing unsupportable music at a deafening volume while the company is over. And
the kind of music you play to, like, force people out of the compound in a standoff with the police.
And you can see, I'm going to kill that fucker on her face.
Okay, Sean, I have bad news for you about being married.
That is a constant look.
Yeah. Okay.
At least once a day.
Granted, I like that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, your enjoyment of the movie has nothing to do with whether or not you think this lady killed her husband. The kid is great.
The kid's great.
The dog is.
The winner of the Palm Dog, a thing that apparently exists.
The dog is so good that they made up a...
No, they didn't make it up. They've been awarding this for years.
No one ever noticed. It was just like, oh yeah, I guess there was a dog in that movie. And this one was like, give the dog an award. The dog acts sick. Like, and the poor
got
guy.
Got that big blue eye. I don't like dogs, and I like that dog. Buddy. Listen, I watched this movie as a... I could accidentally frame my husband for murdering me. But because, like, listen, folks and people in the courtroom listening to this, hopefully not. Hi.
Yeah.
If I die mysteriously, the only explanations are Colin murdered me or I killed myself. I killed myself.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Listen, I know both of them, and that's absolutely true. It's just not going to go the other way. Can you imagine being in courtroom, already being on trial for your spouse's murder,
God.
And then going, they're going to read my book, and they're going to play recordings of me fighting with my husband. Me
and Colin accidentally had a fight on voice messages one time. We Irish goodbye to party.
Yeah.
And then we were trying to, like, record a voice message for the host to be like, sorry, we left.
Yeah.
And then we started fighting and did not press pause. And so, like, that if that might be on an Apple server somewhere.
Oh, God.
So also, I think that this being a foreign courtroom drama really helps it because you never have, like, well, that's not how court works.
Mm. I love when you can just go, must be how court works in that kooky country.
And it sure seems kooky. It's just like a big room of people fighting with each other.
They just argue. They toss out, like, well, what do you think about that? They're just having a conversation. Yes. And it's a murder trial.
Is this like where there's five judges and no jury?
I think there's
several judges in the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of people in the room, though. And, like, the victim's therapist is there and will occasionally be like, well, not in my experience. Anyway, great movie.
Great movie. Highly recommended.
Also, if you don't like subtitles, half of it is in English.
Yeah. Where is she from? Where is Sandra Hüller, secret best actress of the year, because she's in two of the 10 best movies?
I think she's German.
Yeah. You mentioned Letterboxd at some point, and I missed the Letterboxd list, which is movies where a Survivor contestant appears. This sent me down a rabbit hole.
What?
One of the studio guys was played by Jonathan Penner, who was on several seasons of Survivor and was in a bunch of movies, does a lot of, like, guest starring, like CSI type TV spots, and is friends with Jason Alexander, so made a short... With
Seinfeld or Britney husband?
Seinfeld.
Probably okay. Seinfeld.
I don't know.
Made a short film with himself, Jason Alexander, and Ed Asner that was nominated for Best Original Short during the Seinfeld
Ed
years.
Asner?
And Ed Asner. So he's an Oscar-nominated filmmaker, frequent Survivor contestant, and occasional bit part guy.
Damn.
Huh.
What a life.
Yeah.
Jonathan Penner.
I hope his wife makes a movie about how great she was.
About how supportive she was and how he would be nothing without her.
His wife recently passed.
Oh.
And she's Jason Alexander's wife's cousin. They're like,
oh.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Wow.
Camila, movies?
Yeah. Oh, I watched Leave the World Behind.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. My biggest takeaway was, yay, I kept my physical DVDs. Like, I kept my physical media. That's the big takeaway at the end of this movie. But the plot of this movie is interesting. You know, it's the normal end of the world type situation, although it's never really just point blank put in your face, that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And there's also never a real explanation as to that's what's happening. What I enjoyed were the vibes of this movie. Mm-hmm. There's like a couple of really good monologues. I don't recall like what the context was, but just the cinematography and the delivery of them, like one was from Mahershala and there was another one from Julia Roberts. It's just entrancing. Like, mm-hmm. you just get in there and you're just like immediately just like sucked in. It's like, I have no idea what you're saying, but you are performing for your life right now, and I love it. So I enjoyed a lot of the performances. And Ethan Hawke, like, I think, like, I never was into Ethan Hawke.
I've always
loved, but like, as he gets older and older, like, apparently, like, it's just, that's my thing now. It's like my older school teacher, my old fucking college professor, English professor, that's my kink now.
Sure.
I mean, Dan was a professor when I met him.
There you go.
Get him some coats with the leather on them.
Exactly. I've gotten him some of those sweaters with like the cowl.
Mm-hmm. Sexy it. Sweater.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be a movie that people remember? Like, should I be making a point to make sure I see this? Or is this just kind of like, yeah, it's there.
Is it a TV movie or is it a movie?
Yeah.
There's like... I'm not sure. Like, I think it would be worth your time to watch it because there's some interesting choices with camera work that, like, puts me, like, in a Twilight Zone kind of situation. there's a lot of choices for whatever reason to do the fast pull-in where it doesn't really make sense to do that on certain characters. Like, it also feels like the director maybe didn't have one particular voice. This wasn't his own one particular voice. He was like, oh, because there's like all these little shots and scenes like, oh, that reminds me of us. That shot reminds me of that from us. So this is a Alfred Hitchcock thing, or that's like, so it was a lot of those, like, or, you know, or it was on purpose that this is what he wanted to do. Like, I'm paying homage to all of these things. So, yeah, I think you should watch it.
All right.
Just not necessarily to make a point of like things are 2023. I think you would I would be interested in your take on it.
Yeah.
I watched Falling for Christmas, the Netflix movie with Lindsay Lohan.
Amazing.
It was fine. I mean,
it's like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was actually a Netflix movie.
But like of that genre.
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
She's like, you know, I always enjoy Lindsay. Like, she does slapstick and comedy very well. Like, I always like that about her. And it's just, you know, more like she was like a hotel heiress who loses her memory in an accident, loses her memory. And like, she's hanging out with some single dad and his daughter and his mother-in-law for Christmas because she doesn't remember who she is. Blah, blah, blah. And The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Boy, oh boy, what a fucking snooze.
Colin's listening to the book right now in advance of the movie.
Oy vey. You know, never in my life did I think I'd be like, you know what? This one could have been two movies.
Oh.
That book should have been two movies.
Interesting.
Because,
well, when they get out of the arena, then you look at your watch and you're like, I got to be here for another hour?
Oh,
I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care what happens to you fuckers. I don't even know you.
Right. And it's not even like I feel like the selling point for me is that, oh, we get to see President Snow before he's President Snow. And like, what breaks him bad?
We didn't.
I mean, yes. Spoilers.
Probably because they're setting up more books.
But like, spoilers, though, like, he's basically bad anyway. Like, throughout, like, he's got that.
Oh,
that
so
in
it's
him.
Just like, oh, this guy always sucked.
It's more like, you know, oh, what made him have a moment of humanity? like you get like a couple of moments of humanity, but he's just a fucking asshole like the whole time. And I don't particularly care for the actor who played him. He, like, you know, he's got this curly blonde hair, and there's a point where he joins the military and he shaved it off, and it's like immediately it's like Slim Shady. Like, Marshall Mathers circa 1999.
I like it when the kids kill each other in the arena. That's fun. More cinematic than
the
other.
I think the most interesting thing is the fact of seeing like how far along the Hunger Games grows. Like, you know, it's nice to see
Jason Schwartzman kind of low rent hosting
And it's nice to see like the production values went up. You know, they really got some sponsorship behind them.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, that was it.
We talked about Ferrari. The Zone of Interest is a great movie. I don't know why you want to put yourself through that. You know that premise?
No, I don't.
It's the banality of evil movie. It's about a family of Nazi. It's about like Nazi family. It's a Nazi family drama. Ugh. Like, they're living right outside of Auschwitz. And the entire thing is like they're having normal family arguments while you hear people dying in the background.
What the hell?
And like, it's the same woman from Anatomy of a Fall, Sandra Hüller, is the wife, and she's like really into her garden, and like, her mom comes over and is like, so where's all the, and she's like, shut up, look at the plants. And like, it's that kind of
interesting.
It's great. It's number four on my list. Like, I mean, if you sit down and watch this movie, you'll be like, this is a great movie. Why would you choose that? I don't know. Like, it's really, really good. And it's not, you know, it feels relevant. It feels current. It does not feel exploitative. It feels like a good argument about how people are capable of terrible things in the order of their normal lives.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, you're going to ruin your day pretty hard if you go see that, which I kind of still think you should. It's Jonathan Glazer, who did Under the Skin and did Robin, You're Better at This
Thing. He's one of those names, whenever he pops up in something, I'm always like, oh yeah, that guy.
Sexy Beast, Birth, Nicole Kidman in Birth.
Birth.
Yeah. This is his first time working not in the English language. It's very, very good. It's just, wow. Wonka. Nope. Anyway,
why do we keep redoing this?
Am I going to have to see Wonka?
Probably. Either costumes or production design.
Oh.
With neither of which are all that good, but like it feels like it's going to sneak in on one of them. Or maybe original song. Their songs are so fucking forgettable. It's a whole ass musical. There's not one song where you're like...
never happened. Why do they keep making trailers for musicals where they don't tell you it's a musical? Like the fucking Mean Girls trailer has one legit line. What?
They don't sell well. It doesn't help.
Is Mean Girls, is that a movie? Or I thought it was Broadway.
So they had a Broadway musical. They have made a movie version of the Broadway musical that comes out in February.
Oh, goodness.
But the trailers do not want you to know that.
That's crazy.
I mean, we did this a week ago with Color Purple.
Yeah.
So. Like, they're what? But hang on. They're not letting you know the Color Purple movie's a musical?
It's downplayed. It's a little more clear.
Also, is it good? I'm thinking about seeing it like good. Right now. Like after I leave here.
Okay. Absolutely. It's not... as good as the original, the performances are amazing. Okay. More than worth it to see the great performances in this movie. But the trailer for that one, like, the only time someone sings in the trailer is when Suge is singing in the in a concert.
Correct.
You know, other than that, you never see people like busting out into song because apparently the memo going around is that watching people sing does not sell tickets.
Then maybe stop making those movies.
Right. Like, that's not the way to go about it. Bait and switch is not how we do that. We solve this problem.
I was so surprised when they started singing in Cyrano.
Yeah, that one was bad. I regret to inform you that this is the first time Timothée Chalamet has done a poor job in a motion picture.
Really?
He's not consistent. Like, sometimes...
What has he done that's good?
All the other movies he's been in.
First of all,
that vampire one.
Who this child is.
And
Timmy Chalamet?
Call me by your name.
Lady Bird.
Dune, for fuck's sake. Dune. Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Sorry.
I saw Dune.
I think he's so fucking good in Call Me By Your Name.
I didn't see that.
I think that's really the first thing that I noticed him in.
The only thing I saw him in was Dune and Lady Bird.
Mm-hmm. And I thought Lady Bird, I mean, he played the boy I had a crush on in high school. And like, so, I mean, not a specific boy. Every boy I had a crush on.
Yeah, he's the every boy.
Yeah, and like... he did that perfectly. I don't think it's a great feat of acting. But I do think it is genuinely impressive that he is good in Dune. Mm. Like, that's a tricky movie to be good in.
Bones and all. Sad vampire movie. Bones
sad
and all.
Sadpire. Hey, did you know there's a new sad astronaut movie coming out?
With Ariana DeBose.
With Adam Sandler.
What?
Adam Sandler?
I thought of you immediately when I saw that.
What, Uncut Asteroids? What?
I don't remember the name of it. Or I just remember.
I'm really pumped for the Ariana. Have you seen the trailer for the Ariana DeBose one?
Yes, I saw it before Godzilla, and yikes, absolutely not. Oh, no.
Opening night. ISS. She's an American astronaut, and she goes to the International Space Station, and they're partying with the Russian astronauts, and then they look down, and Russia and America are nuking each other.
What?
And they both get messages like, kill the other ones. Sold.
Sounds like sold. I already bought my ticket. There.
Wonka, though, not great. The Iron Claw is really good.
As you say, it's really good because you
know.
Like,
is
wrestling?
This like a movie that you're incapable of not enjoying?
Right.
But not only that.
This is one of
Zac
those movies.
Zac Efron is so good.
Well, it's one of these movies that is coming out of nowhere. It feels like Oscars race wise.
Yeah.
Where like I truly had no idea it existed until like 3 weeks ago, and now people are like sneaky Best Picture contender, and I'm like, excuse me, what?
I've been seeing like how Entertainment Weekly does their movie magazine covers now for social media.
I did not know this.
Yeah, I mean they're cute. Okay. I really like it.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah. And so like they've been doing this thing with the boys from Iron Claw, and you know, on one of them being, you know, our yes chef. Jeremy. Something.
Alan.
Jerry White.
Yes. We got there together.
Right. But they're like eating ribs in like all this sexy way or whatnot. That is how I've learned about this movie. I saw this. I'm like, what's happening here? What's going on?
Why are you sexually eating ribs?
Just like the sauce all over me. Just like, yeah, I'll show you the clip after.
Okay.
I saved it on Instagram. It's in my saves. But But yeah, so I've been, what the advertising, the promo for this movie is much different than what I found out the movie is actually about.
Yeah. It's not about sexually eating ribs.
They're playing heavily on hot boys. Mm.
I mean, there's a bunch of hot boys in their little old school wrestling tights, which right. were just underpants, and that was it. The wrestling stuff is not the focus, and most of the wrestling stuff is more like, you know, career advancement and trying to live up to your father's wishes than it is the ins and outs of wrestling.
Is this based on a true story?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay. And so these are real people.
These are real people, and they actually had
to... And not some kind of their wives wrote them.
No, no. They had to tone down the amount of real-life tragedy for the film because at a certain point, this family has experienced so many tragedies that it is no longer believable as fiction.
Wow.
So there's extra terrible
things. They're the Kennedys of wrestling?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. There's extra terrible things that happened that just didn't make the cut.
Damn.
But it is a great... like late 70s, early 80s Texas time capsule. It's just like a very cool setting. And then, boy, is it a heartbreaker. But yeah, it's good. And Zac Efron is so good. He turned out to be such a good actor. Mm. Like, yeah. I know we already knew that a little bit, but
yeah,
like, he really does it here.
I still enjoy him at 17 again. Like,
I still haven't seen that. And I haven't been able to watch anything with Matthew Perry in it since he died. Like, yeah. It gets me okay.
Yeah, even just putting Friends on.
I haven't been able to put Friends on.
It's just heavy. It's just heavy now.
Which is not what he would have wanted.
That's how I grieved. The night I found out, I watched Fools Rush In.
Oh. R.I.P.
Yeah.
So many. R.I.P. Andre Brower.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that one took me out. That took me out.
But we did watch the first season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so I grieved that way with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's crazy is that I've been rewatching Law and Order SVU, and he was on like several episodes as an attorney. And I just remember I was in this mode of like, damn, Andre is such a good actor. You know, just like for like weeks of just like, oh my God, Andre Brower was like amazing. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like.
Yeah.
And I last night I looked through, last night as we're recording this on the 27th. I looked through a slideshow, one of the horrible, like everyone we lost this year.
Oh God.
Where you go, huh, Bob Barker died. Like there's so many that I did not know.
That was only this year.
I know.
That was, but what's. Yeah, somebody...
Jerry Springer. Forgot that one completely.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Somebody made like a terrible joke because Bob Barker was 99 when he died.
Oh, yep.
Without going over.
I like it. I like that joke.
Yeah, yeah. But I looked through this and I was like, man, it's always weird to read these on the 27th and going like, are they going to have to update?
Right.
Let's draw a movie. And hey, we're going to the whole list. It is a new year. It is a new round of vetoes, but why would we use one the first week? We're going to hang on to them. We're not going to blow it right away, especially when we can watch. I'm going to blow it right away. I've already walked out of this movie once.
Oh, shit.
I'm not going back now to Valentine's Day, the romantic comedy montage film.
Gross. Oh.
It's one of, I apologize, for about the first 2 years that I was a real movie critic, I would occasionally go, I've seen enough. I can, all I remember
You're
for
like
sure.
You're like that guy who does the elections.
Yeah. All I remember for sure was this, with Valentine's Day and the Kevin James movie Zookeeper. I was like, I feel like I can comment. It's more, what have I been here for, 40 minutes? Yeah, I can.
This feels right, yeah. Oh, cool.
As much as I'm curious to see how Taylor Swift was as an actress in the year 2010.
Mm. Okay, well, thank you, Sean.
Week one.
All right. Yeah. Now you've lost
the pressure off.
Like, wow, damn. Like, we're like 2 minutes in.
Happy New Year.
So now we have to watch whatever we draw next.
This is like when I get some money. It's like, it's not going to be in my pocket for long. Instead, we are watching The Game Plan.
What on earth?
From 2007.
Is Mark Wahlberg involved in that?
It feels like a rom-com? Stuck in the Rock? No, it's The Rock. It's a children's movie with The Rock. Oh, an NFL brother. Quarterback living the bachelor lifestyle discovers that he has an 8-year-old daughter from a previous relationship.
The big tough guy, small kids, movie.
Oh, one of them.
It's on Disney Plus.
Dwayne Johnson, Kira Sedgwick.
All right.
Sure. That's better. I really hated Valentine. Did anyone, either of you see that?
No. I saw it like a million years ago, and then it prompted me to write a blog about saying other movies to watch on Valentine's Day that are not Valentine's
Day. Yeah, exactly. It had a sequel. They did New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think I did see New Year's Eve.
I remember hearing about that and like, no, thank you.
Who made this? Who made Valentine? We're not watching it, so it's
Gary Marshall.
Yeah, it's Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
And had he not, he died, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had he not died, he was going to keep hitting holidays. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Halloween.
I'm so much.
A rom-com Halloween.
Arbor Day.
we can have the same conversation we had about The Rock when we did the Scorpion King episode and just, let's talk about The Rock again. Before we do that, Dragon the Bruce Lee Story released March the 7th. No, May the 7th.
That's right.
Excuse me. Mm. Of 1993. What was the number one song in America?
Mariah
Whitney
Carey.
Houston.
No, and no. I can't help you either.
Janet Jackson.
I am not familiar with this tune. Oh. So I guess that's the only hint. It's one that someone who was
UB40.
Just 8 years old at the time might not have heard. Not UB40.
You're going to have to break it down, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Is it R&B?
It isn't. I'm guessing.
SWV.
No, if the name of this song and the name of this artist are not R&B, if this is somehow a country song, I will eat my hat. It sounds a lot like an R&B song.
Freak me, baby.
Two of those words.
Two of those? Freak like me?
No, just two of them. You've said all the words. You just said an
freak
extra.
Freak me?
Yeah.
I don't think I know that song either.
Oh, who the fuck did that song? I don't think I'm going to get... It was one of the lesser R&B groups.
The song by American R&B group Silk.
Ah.
I vaguely remember the existence of Silk.
Yeah, exactly.
It was co-written and co-produced by Keith Sweat, for whom Silk was a touring opening act.
Mm.
Yeah, was so nice I wasn't interested in Keith Sweat. So therefore, his proteges I had zero love for.
I do miss the time when you were free to say, you were basically allowed to say fuck on the radio. You just had to say freak instead.
Yeah.
You could be as dirty as you want as long as you subbed in the word freak.
Exactly. Which I had like five other ones on lock on the list. Mm-hmm.